I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. And what an incredibly special episode today. We have the star of the podcast, Jared Haben, joining us, the guest host, Dean Unglert, and a very special guest host as well today. Heather Martin is joining us. Heather, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well.
Doing,
I would
splendid.
Like to make a quick note in case something happens to me. I am in the van again. I don't have very good... Well, the service is fine.
What do you mean if something happens to you? Where are you in the world right now? That sounds sketchy.
Well, it's more so just, you know, I'm not calling in from like a reliable Wi-Fi connection, so you never really know what's going to happen.
Are you ever calling in on a reliable Wi-Fi connection?
Yeah. Like I was last week from the Mexican restaurant in San Rafael or wherever the heck I was.
That was pretty
Which
awesome.
I haven't listened to the episode yet, but yeah, I figured that one's probably going to do one of the best episodes we've ever had, now
Obviously.
That I think about it.
I think it's a classic.
Yeah, they're all classics with Dean Unglert. Where in the world
In 10 years, when we're looking back through the annals of Help, I Suck at Dating, we're going to look at that episode as one of the highlights, I think.
Oh, I completely concur. Well, we have a great episode coming up for you. Heather, first of all, how are you? We want to catch up with you. Do you still live in Southern California? Are you still in San Diego?
I'm in San Diego. Yep. It's finally starting to get warm here. So it's been great. Things are opening. Yeah. It's been really good.
So the last time we saw you, obviously you were on Matt James' season. You came in the van just about halfway through the season. I'm assuming was not your decision. You didn't want to come halfway through. Tell us, what exactly happened? Did you reach out to producers halfway through and was like, hey, I'm regretting not coming on? Or were you like, hey, can I come on night one? And they were like, no, you got to come on later.
Yeah, no, I definitely didn't. Definitely was not ideal to come halfway through. So basically what happened is it all started last summer when Hannah came to my house and she came to visit and she was like, oh, Heather, you'd be really good with Matt. And then just like kind of brought it up casually, but like he was already announced to be the Bachelor at that point. So it was like, both of us were like, okay, well, that can't happen, but whatever. But then she kept talking about it. And she's like, I really think you'd be a good match. And I was like, dang it. It's like, she doesn't like, Hannah's not the type of person to like really say that often. Like she doesn't try to like set me up with a bunch of people or like her friends up with a bunch of people. So I was like, dang it, like that really means something. And so she's kept talking about it and we're like, okay, let's see what she's like, I'll see what I can do. So she talked to some people and then I talked to some people and that was over the course of like months, you know? And then finally like started to have like some conversations and go through the process a little bit, but it was definitely later than like the normal casting process. And So there was just lots of things that happened and conversations that were had. And by the point that it was just like, there was like, okay, like it's kind of too late. And then so took it upon myself and headed out there on my own.
What were some of those conversations like though? They were really like, it's too late. And you actually went out there on your own?
It's always weird. I'm like, what am I supposed to say?
You can say, just say there is, you'll never get in trouble for telling the truth.
Let me put it this way.
So
you went out on your own, but was there, I don't know, anybody who is like, hey, you know, maybe you should do it. Like, of course you took it on your own to do it, but was there anybody helping you?
I think truly me going out there, it was my choice. Like they were like, we were just having conversations. And I think they're like there's a lot more that goes into going on the show besides just like showing up. So I think like going through I think I really was like late in the process and getting everything, you know, approved and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Especially during COVID times.
During COVID times, everything's weird. And so they're kind of just like, Heather, like, it's like, we can't authorize you to come.
And then you were like, screw that. I'm coming. I'm not going to regret not meeting Matt in my life. Have you ever met Matt before the show?
No. So I'd never met him at all. I had like said hi to him on Facebook. Like Hannah, when she was at my house, but she's at my house for like 3.5 weeks. Like she had FaceTimed him a couple times. And I like said like, oh, hey, like on FaceTime, but like wasn't like in a conversation at all. Like, so I hadn't met him.
Yeah.
I really had any interactions.
And then how do you feel looking back now? Do you regret it at all?
No, I don't. I think.
Good. Nor should you, because I think you made the right decision.
Thank you. I think I would have. I think I always regret the things like I do not do rather than the things I do. It was like one of those things. I'm like, I could look like an absolute freak. I probably did. I did. And it was like, I looked like a weirdo, but like, I'm like, well, who cares? Like, people who know me. If you think I'm a weirdo, whatever, I'm going to go for it. And so.
And also, I feel like, too, you from the first go around, you always learn how short-sighted everyone is, where it's like, okay, maybe you like go in and people like have this opinion of you, but then that just kind of fades away after a short amount of time anyways, you know? So
people
it's like,
forget.
Who cares
totally.
At the end of the day? You, like you said, your family and friends know you, they love you for who you are. And so it's like, totally. Who cares if some random person in Arkansas is like, oh, Heather's weird for showing up in a minivan.
Yeah, totally. 1000%. And that's why I was like, I'm just going to go for it. I feel like I'm like the type of person who like, I get like weirdly nervous and freaked out about like the stupidest things. Like I'll get nervous, like ask a waiter for something, but like these big, like grand things, I'm just like, oh, I don't get scared. It's so weird. Like, it's probably something wrong with me, but it's like, okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're afraid to ask the waiter for extra ketchup, but going on a reality TV show, unprompt, I'm in, baby.
1000. Yeah. It's so weird. Like, I was like calling my family, like talking about like booking a hotel. It's like, okay, like, should I ask the lady if I can put my suitcase in there for an hour? And they're like, you're about to go to a TV show, like without like by yourself. And you're afraid to ask the lady at the Hampton Inn if she can store your suitcase. So like, it's so weird.
So I watched some of Matt's season. Not all of it, but I did watch that episode. And I remember specifically the girls were so mean to you. Were they that mean in real life? Or was that just like an editing thing?
It was not editing at all.
They were so mean.
It was really, really intense. Yeah. Like I think I should have, I think I was, that was like the one thing I was naive to. Like I was expecting, like, I think I kind of like was going in well aware of like what could happen, blah, blah, blah. But I think I was like not expecting them to be so intense. And so like, yeah,
so
like just on the attack. Like I was just like,
they were
whoa.
Rude. That's what they were. They were extremely rude. I remember watching that episode. And then like Dean said, it was ridiculous. There was no reason for them to be that much of a jerk to you. Did they have every right to be annoyed? Of course. Like Heather, if you were on the opposite, if somebody came in halfway through Colton season,
totally.
You'd be like, oh, this sucks. I don't want more people here. I'm annoyed. I don't like this person.
For sure.
But the fact that they were so overly mean to the point that they made you cry, God, that pissed me off.
Yeah, same.
It was, yeah, I know. And I expected them to be mad. And I was like, or like frustrated, annoyed, mad, whatever. And I would have been too. Like, I totally, and that's what I was like, I totally understand where you guys are coming from. But yeah, it was just like very like condescending. I just felt like less than a human. It was like, what is that?
Yeah, it was unnecessary.
Was there any recourse after the fact? Like, obviously you couldn't talk to the girls that night when you left, but have you spoken with any of the girls from Matt's season since?
I have. I talked to a bunch of them and it was really like immediately they were all so nice, like,
oh, good.
Apologized and like, so like those, like at the, like no bad blood. I don't like, I understood and I understand like in that world, like things are like heightened and stuff like that. So when I did get to talk to them, like it made me feel a lot better. And like,
that's awesome
like,
to hear.
Yeah.
Cause like you said, and what we all know is that you can kind of lose yourself a little bit in those moments. Cause you're
totally.
So amped up and like everything's so heightened and, you know, you're so stressed out and you're tired and everybody's going after this one person. And so you're already on edge. And so something like that can set you off. So I'm glad that the girls who were mean to you were like, hey, listen, my bad. I kind of lost it a little bit.
At the rental car company, were there just not very many cars available? Was the van the only thing?
You know what? I just walked up to the thing and I was like, hey, need a car? And they're like, hey, we have this minivan. In my mind, did not think one thing of it. I was like, perfect. Okay, let's go. Like, if not for a second, did it cross my mind that was weird. I just didn't even think about it at all. Nor did I think like my car was going to be part of it, I guess. But I literally thought nothing of the minivan. Had no idea what that was going to.
You probably didn't even think that they were going to show the car, right?
Like, no,
they were
probably didn't think the car was going to be part of it. Yeah, I was like, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I definitely didn't think. My car, yeah, they're going to show my car.
Heather, how old are you?
25.
25. So you were probably 24 when this was filming, right? I thought you couldn't rent a car until you were 25.
I just turned 25 when we were filming.
Oh, you were?
So it was like my first rental car experience on my own.
Okay, nice. I was going to say that was a pretty major plot hole that we looked over if you weren't 25 at the time.
Wasn't old enough for the rental car. No, yeah, it was perfect. It's just my birth. I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have that.
You would have like taken an Uber up instead.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, it was like a couple. It was probably 2 hours from the airport. So
you could have pulled up like Harry from Dumb and Dumber in the little moped.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Matt! Oh my god, that would have been great.
It. Missed opportunity there.
I know. Damn it. So my question is, you've never been to Paradise. What the hell is going on? Why are you not in Paradise? Because your storyline, I remember in Colton season, you were never kissed. And then you had your first kiss with Colton. Mm-hmm. And then I remember we had dinner. It was like a bunch of us. And it was the first time I ever met you. And you were like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to Paradise. And I was like, what? How could you? Like, your storyline is so, like, perfect. And then here we are now and we're recording and Paradise is filming. And if you're with us, unless, like, you're not telling us the truth and you're like, you know, obviously in a hotel room waiting to go to Paradise.
Yeah, I'm not a hotel room.
You're not going back this year either. Mm-mm. Did you talk to producers about Paradise?
No, honestly, I had no conversations this time about Paradise. I think they know, and like it's just like not Paradise is just like not a fit for me, and like I wasn't even like, yeah, it's just not for me, you know.
You got something against people that go to Paradise or something, Heather? What do you mean
it's not for you? Dude, I were in Paradise. What are you trying to say?
I just don't feel like I have like it's so like. Dating in general is just like, I feel like I probably have issues with it, but like, I feel like I'm it wouldn't be a good setting. Like, I don't feel like it would be like a genuine setting for me to meet someone. Like, I just wouldn't be myself.
I think the consensus is that you're too pure for that setting, right?
I don't know about too pure, but yeah, like it isn't my like vibe.
It's definitely, extremely stressful. I found Paradise far more stressful than I did Bachelorette, and I'm sure Dean did too.
Why? Why is that?
Because all the focus is on you. You know, there's no lead. So all the focus is on the contestants. And so, you know, as you know, you're on camera so much on Bachelor, but in Paradise, you are on camera 24/7. There are cameras in the bedrooms.
Yeah.
And so, like, they don't turn the lights off until four, you know, whenever they turn it off, like 3-4 in the morning sometimes, especially at the rose ceremonies. And it's just like, and then you're up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're always on camera. So you never truly know, like, kind of what's going to be on camera, what's not going to be on camera, because you're always mic'd up. So what's going to make it on TV? Am I going to be part of a storyline? It's way more stressful, I found. Plus,
yeah, that's so
hell.
Stressful. And being hot, it does like affect you. Like, when you're like physically not comfortable, I feel like that has an effect. Do you feel like you could be yourself though when you felt like the cameras were on 24/7? Was that like an issue, or is like, easy because you're just like I have to because the cameras are always on.
I found it, and Dean, I want to know what you think about this. I found it, I was much more myself as the camera, as I got more used to it. Like, definitely in Paradise, I felt more myself than I did in Bachelorette, just because I was more used to the cameras. But honestly, even Bachelorette, I felt very comfortable. I remember one time though, it was my second season of Paradise, and I was with Carly, and this was when Carly and I weren't with anybody, and we were like. We were roasting everybody and we were on the edge of the pool and we were just laughing our asses off thinking, oh my God, we're totally going to get villainized from this one conversation because we were just roasting everybody and we thought it was the funniest thing, but maybe not. It wouldn't have been that funny looking back on it, watching it, but it never made air. So who knows?
Dang it.
I know.
Dang it.
That's the thing too. There's so much stuff that they have to pull from that, like not anything, but you think something's going to make it and doesn't make it.
Totally.
But you are a lot more accountable for your actions down there, which is a good thing and a bad thing, I guess, in a sense. I would say, I definitely got to let my F-boy flag fly the first season, but you're just kind of more like relaxed. I don't know. I was more relaxed. I don't know.
Yeah.
Less focused, more relaxed, way more drunk the first time, at least. Second time I didn't drink, fortunately.
You didn't at all the second time?
Nope. Sober guy.
Why
the second
not?
Time.
Good boy.
I've noticed within my life, a lot of the bad decisions that I make happen when I'm under the influence of alcohol. So, younger Dean didn't really seem to mind being drunk too much, but older Dean has a much more clear judgment these days. And don't get me wrong, still very bad judgment often. But when I'm sober, I'm a lot more reasonable, I think.
Well, that's good that you acknowledge that.
Did you have to have any drinks to calm your nerves going into mat season?
No drinking at all. Like, I was like, even like, I could like get like, you know, a glass of wine. I honestly like did not want to drink. I'm not a big drinker in general, but I didn't want to drink like that much at all on my first season. But then I was like, oh, I'd love a glass of wine before, you know, I'm just about to do something insane. But I was driving before, so they didn't even let me have like,
right,
even, like
that's a good point.
A glass of wine. So sense. No, it was no drinking at all.
Very responsible of you. When Ash and I went down to get engaged, Ash obviously wasn't 100% sure we were getting engaged. I was trying to throw her off. And so were all our friends. So she didn't really know. But when we were driving down there, she had like 3 glasses of champagne. And we're not big drinkers either. But she likes having some, you know, champagne to kind of feel a little bit looser. And I'm like, oh, my God, Ashley's going to be wasted during our engagement. And at one point, she grabbed the bottle and started drinking from the bottle. And I'm like, give me this thing. OK, she was extremely nervous. And I get it. I was like, good Lord. Just relax.
That's kind of surprising to hear that she was nervous.
Well, she was nervous. She didn't know if she was about to be proposed to. She was going on camera. It was a very weird moment. Yeah. Anyway.
One of my favorite photos is of you on your knee asking her to marry you, and her like heels are dug into the sand. she's like standing flat footed, but she's wearing like 4-inch heels or something like that. It just looks so funny.
Yeah, it's the most Ashley moment of all time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we do have a lot to talk about. Obviously, we're going to address the Chris Harrison situation that happened this week. But before we get into that, let's take a quick break. All right. Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Myself, Dean, Heather Martin is here. Now, listen, June 9th was apparently National Sex Day. So we may have some sex questions lined up for you, Heather and Dean. All like very PG. Don't worry about it. All very fun stuff. Okay. But like, you know, we're a dating podcast. Obviously, sex is a part of dating. So these are the things that we got to talk about. But first, on a little bit more of a sour note, I do want to address the Chris Harrison situation. Obviously, you guys have all heard Chris Harrison has permanently exited the Bachelor franchise after 19 seasons. Chris gave an interview with Rachel Lindsay, a little recap, where he was defending Rachel Carcano when she went to an antebellum party. He was defending her, but it really looked like he was defending kind of the racism of act. And then he ended up leaving, not hosting After the Final Rose on Matt James season, and then did not do Katie's season. It was announced that he was not coming back for Paradise. And now it was just announced that Chris Harrison, will no longer be a part of the Bachelor franchise. And when this news dropped on Tuesday, I don't think it's hyperbole to say that this might be one of the biggest moments in the franchise's history. I've always, you know, Ash and I have always joked like, oh, I wonder when Chris will retire or when he'll leave. Like, will the show go on? What will happen afterwards? And now we're at this moment. Chris is no longer a part of the franchise. And it makes me wonder do they get a new host? What does the franchise look like moving forward? You know, will it be as good without Chris? For me, it makes me really sad that Chris is gone. I said from the beginning, I was always hoping that he'd be back and given an opportunity to get his job back. I think he grossly mishandled the interview. We've talked about this many times. We don't have to rehash that. But I don't think he should have lost his job. I wish he was given an opportunity to come back. Obviously, he wasn't. It seemed like The Bachelor didn't want him to come back, for whatever reason. I don't really know why. But they've moved on from him, and I wish nothing but the best for Chris. You know, he's a good man. He's a friend. You know, we're close with Lauren Zima, his girlfriend as well. You know, we love them together. You know, he's a dad. It seems like he got a pretty good payout from this. To make sure he didn't write a tell-all. I don't really know. These are what the rumors are. But it sucks. It's a changing of the guard. And I wish that he would stay in the Bachelor franchise, but he's not. And so that doesn't mean I don't want the show to go away. I still support the show. Ashley and I are friends with so many producers. I don't want anybody losing their job. I want the show to thrive. I think Caitlin and Tayshia did an incredible job night one. I think they bring great energy to the show. I love watching them on my television screen. I'm rooting for Katie. I hope she finds the man that she can hopefully ultimately marry. But it makes me sad that Chris Harrison will no longer be a host of the show. And it sucks. And those are my thoughts on it.
Great thoughts, Jared. I'm going to go ahead and take the exact opposite approach on this. I don't agree with the somber attitude of being like, oh, a guy lost his job. Bachelor franchise is never going to be the same. I mean, obviously, I don't have a dog in the race. I've never really been a fan of the show. Not to say that I don't understand its presence in modern television, whatever. And obviously, I've been on the show so many times. So, like, obviously, it kind of makes sense for me to have an opinion on it. I just, like, don't understand why everyone's so sad. It's like Chris Harrison hosted the show for 19 years, did a good enough job at it. The guy's walking away with $50 million or however much. It's unreported, right? So it's like, what? I think it was eight figures is what everyone is saying. So we're assuming $25 to $50 million.
Yeah.
That guy's not bummed, okay? He, like, of course he loved his job. He loved working for The Bachelor. He is laughing his way to the bank right now. And I don't think that there's any reason to feel bad for him. You know, you put 19 hard years in a job. That's a long time, especially in today's job market, whatever. So, like, I'm happy for Chris. I'm happy for The Bachelor franchise. I think it's a good, necessary thing for a shakeup to happen. And like you said, it was going to have to happen eventually. Mm-hmm. So now it's kind of like, in a weird way, like a win-win. You know, The Bachelor franchise has kind of like a reason to hand it over to someone else, whoever that might be, in whatever capacity that looks like. Chris gets to make out like a bandit, gets all this money thrown his way, more time to play golf, spend time with his kids, which we all know he loves his kids. And it's just kind of like everyone kind of gets to move on in a weird way. So I personally am happy for everyone. I'm happy for Chris that he gets to take that money, do whatever he wants with it. I'm happy for the show because now they kind of get to like test a couple things out, see what works, see what doesn't work, and eventually hand it over to someone full time if that's what they plan on doing. Happy for everyone else as well. I don't know. I just like, I fail to see the negatives in this. You know?
I hear you. I think it was more, I knew he wanted to come back. I knew he was putting the work in to come back. And the fact that he didn't get the opportunity to sucks. But I totally agree with you where he got a big payout for everything reported. So I certainly don't feel that bad for him.
If someone came to me and they're like, hey, Dean, we want to pay you $20 million to never host another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating Again, I would say, thank you very much.
To be fair, graciously
accept your offer.
I think Chris Harrison made a little bit more hosting the show than we do hosting this podcast.
Well, hey, we're only 3 years into it. We got 16 more years to go. Once we hit the 19 year mark, you don't know.
That's right. We'll start making Chris Harrison type money. Heather, do you have any thoughts about this?
I mean, personally, when I heard about that, it's like, it was a little sad. I feel like Chris brings change is hard. Like, I feel like I love the show and I'm like, Chris brings like a certain level of like, I don't know if seriousness is the right word or groundedness or like, it just makes it more, I don't know, real in a way because he's like a dad and he's like, I don't know. He like feels like equipped for that role. And like, he's just like, he is the show in my head. Like when you think of the show, you think of Chris. So I feel like it was sad in a way for like the viewers, like, oh, it's going to be like I just feel like it's going to be a different show. Mm. But at the same time, I was talking to my sister recently, even before this news came out, and I was like, it's getting a little bit like, it's been so long and there's been so many seasons. Like there needs to be some sort of like change. Cause it's like been the exact same thing over and over and over again. So maybe it'll be good. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, Tayshia and Caitlin did so great. But there is just something so special about Chris.
I completely agree with you. There is this certain seriousness that he brings to the show that is needed because it's a show that when you look at the face of it is absolutely ridiculous. It's like, hey, spend 10 hours with someone over the course of a few weeks and then, you know, get engaged at the end or however many hours you spend together. It's definitely more than 10. I'm dramatizing it. But my point is, you know, get to know someone for a month and a half and then propose on this ridiculous stage. And then we're going to throw you, you know, back into the real world and like, good luck. But yeah. Chris did such a good job of, you know, and then of course, in the meantime, you have to deal with all this drama and all these storylines that are ridiculous and over the top. But Chris did bring a certain levity to the show that is much needed. And that makes me, you know, I love David Spade. I love Lance Bass. I love the idea of Little John. I think it's going to be fun and entertaining specifically in Paradise. But within Paradise, like there still has to be that, you know, seriousness to it of like, hey, you're about to propose, because that's what we all watch for. We watch for the drama, but we also watch for the relationship. So, you know, as long as they do it well, I think Paradise could be really good, especially with the commentary between Lance Bass and David Spade and Little John. Like, it will be wildly entertaining. I just hope they still keep that, you know, hey, we're still trying to build, you know, two people falling in love here.
Yeah. It feels like just a different show.
There were a few moments where I was like going into it and I was like, oh, whatever. This is all fun and joyous and blah, blah, blah. Like whatever, like my usual idiotic self of like just thinking everything's always good. And then you see Chris and he's like, okay, Dean, this is a momentous occasion. Very important decision you're about to make. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you're kind of right. This is a pretty important moment. And then he does bring to your both your credits. He does bring like a very serious, like you need to really consider your actions before you move forward here. And I think that Tayshia and Caitlin, at least so far as we've seen, they've been like more playful and kind of like lighthearted. I can imagine they'll probably be able to make the transition to be more serious, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
I agree. So those are our thoughts about Chris Harrison. Obviously huge news within Bachelor Nation this week. So we're going to see how it all plays out. And we're wishing, for me personally, I'm wishing Chris the best. And I'm also wishing The Bachelor the best as well. But to segue into a much lighter topic, National Sex Day, ladies and gentlemen, June 9th. I had no idea this was a thing, but apparently the reason National Sex Day is on June 9th is because the date resembles, that's right, you guessed it, 6-9, the old 69. Good Lord, obviously. Got to honor that holiday with some numbers. All right, so we figured, you know, let's talk about some sexy stuff on this podcast, huh? So, Dean, Heather, I want to get your thoughts, and I'll go first. Sexual partners, like the number of sexual partners that you have. Is that something that you should be upfront with somebody about, or should you not mention it at all? We've talked about it on this podcast before. Like, hey, do you tell someone your number or not? I don't think it matters. What? What are you laughing
at? Well, you know Ashley's number, which is pretty convenient for you. Does she know yours?
Yeah.
She's got like an idea.
I've ballparked it, you know?
Yeah.
Remember American Pie when they were like, always when a girl tells you how many sexual partners they've had, times it by three, and that's the actual number. And when a guy tells you how many sexual partners he's had, divide it by three, and that's the actual number.
Right.
That is not the case for me. Ashley and I have talked about that, but I think sex is so overblown, man. I really do. It's important, but it's really not that important, especially someone who's married now. And, you know, one of the best advice I ever got before I got married was, listen, you know, intimacy is a part of a relationship, but don't also forget that this is the person you're going to have a conversation with every day for the rest of your life. And it's like, holy crap. Yeah, that's pretty heavy stuff right there. And so I think whatever's in the past is in the past. That's in my eyes.
Heather, what are your thoughts on it?
I think as like a really, I mean, I'm obviously not an expert in this, like, this is not my, you know, typical convert like forte, but I feel like as like the relationship progresses, like that's just like the type of topics that you talk about and like your values and like what's important to you. I don't think you necessarily need, I think it's a case by case basis on like what you value and what you're looking for in a relationship. But like, I don't think like specifically, like this is a certain time you have to state your numbers or anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. Would you ever ask like your boyfriend exactly how many sexual partners he had, or would you know that number before even being in a relationship with someone, do you think?
I think that's just a conversation that would come up naturally. Like, I don't think you'd be like, okay, at this time, like now I'm going to ask you exact. I just think like as you're having conversations and like connecting emotionally, like that's just like a topic that comes up.
Well, Heather, for you, because you obviously went on national television, you were very open and honest about the fact that you had never been kissed. Has people ever come up to you afterwards or DM'd you and said, hey, you know, I'm in the same boat. It's really like it was really great to see, because Heather, you're a beautiful woman. Like you have so much going for you. You're charismatic. You're pretty. And so like, obviously, when you said, hey, I've never been kissed, it's like, what the hell? Like, no guy's ever just tried to kiss you. That's insane. And so I would imagine that a lot of people afterwards would reach out to you and say, hey, I'm, you know, I've never been kissed either. And it's pretty awesome to know that, you know, I'm not.
Well, for the record, I'm sure many guys have tried to kiss her. She's just said no.
Fair point.
Yeah. No, it was really cool. I think that was one of the main things that was like really cool after. It was like a lot of girls, like younger girls, like, oh my gosh, I've been so afraid and I've been lying about it and I didn't want to tell people. And thank you for saying that, because it makes me feel like less weird and less like, it just makes me feel more normal and like I'm waiting for like the right person, whatever. And that was never my intention going in. It was just like, I can't believe that actually like that was the thing. And like, I shared that. But yeah, no, I think that was like one of the coolest parts coming out of the show was that like the young girls like telling me like it helped them feel less weird, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. As long as you can touch one person, that's what I always say, is if you can share a story and it can resonate with one person and help them out, and that's always worth sharing that story. Jared, back to your original point, the sexual partners, whether it's important to discuss. It's funny because Kaylin and I have like sort of discussed it, similar to you and Ashley. It's like, I know it's kind of messed up in a weird way. Like, I know exactly how many sexual partners she's had, and she's got like a ballpark figure of how many I've had. Is that just like a guy and girl thing? I don't know, I guess. But I kind of like to keep the ambiguity going in that sense. I'm not like proud of my number, although it does, you know, help define me as an individual. So I guess I shouldn't be too self-conscious about it, but it is what it is, I guess.
Well, I mean, I have to ask, you say you're not proud of your number. Are you willing to like share it?
No, absolutely not. Okay, no, absolutely not.
Hey, you know, if you don't ask, you'll never find out.
He tried.
Yeah. I mean, there was just, you know, my younger days, like I said, when I let alcohol and all of that stuff kind of like take the lead. I was a little promiscuous back then. Obviously, it tapered back, of course, ever since dating Kaylin. But even before so, it was kind of like, I was kind of like, okay, I'm getting too old for this. Like, I shouldn't be getting wasted and going to clubs all the time. And that, you know, that was kind of like the turning point, I guess. But yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's not, you know, it's nothing crazy. It's not like in the six figures or anything like that. But it's you know, it's a number.
Yeah, I'm just going to let you keep talking.
Can you interject, ask you another question about sex day, June 9th. Tell us more about it.
Well, a buddy of mine once told me his number, and it was the stupidest thing I ever heard. He said that he had slept with over 100 people in his life. And I was like, holy crap. That's insane. That's how, you know what I mean? I don't know. That was weird to me. Anywho, we don't have to talk about it. I don't know if Dean wants to divulge into that one. No, but I just thought it was cool.
Do you have an exact number?
No. I also think like when you were talking about why do guys have more of a ballpark and it feels like girls know their number more, it's because I think that unfortunately, if I'm generalizing, guys, you know, they view sex as more of you know, a fling,
notch,
you know,
on the belt kind of thing.
Yeah, or not a notch on the belt, but like it's not as big of a deal as I feel like girls, you know, feel towards it. You know, I think girls are take it much more seriously and take their time. Not all, but if I'm generalizing, that's how I feel, and that's why, like, you know, certain girls know their exact number, and guys are like, yeah, I think it's like somewhere around here. I don't really know, you know. Also, guys are super insecure, and they just try to deflect and just push everything else off. That's what I've found, because I'm a guy and I've been wildly insecure in my life. So it's always like you're trying to build it up and be like, yeah, I think it's like somewhere around here. I don't really know. It's not a big deal or anything like that. I don't really care.
Like, do you want it to be higher or you want it to be lower?
Well, I think my early years, I wanted it to be higher. You know, I lost my virginity at 19, and like amongst my like friend group, it wasn't like super late, but like I knew some of my friends that were sexually active in high school, and it was like, I felt like Steve Carell in the 40-year-old virgin, like playing poker with them. Like, yeah, boobs and sandbags, they're just like great. And, you know, like boobs aren't supposed to feel like sandbags. So that was definitely, it was nerve wracking back then, being like a late bloomer and just being like, I don't know, guys.
I feel like I'm the opposite. Because I've heard that that stat too. Girls divide by three, guys multiply by three. And I'm always kind of like, well, whenever I am telling people my number or whatever, whenever I used to do it, I would always like cut it in half, you know, like I would always say a lesser number than it was for whatever reason. I don't know. I guess I was always...
It's because you've always been ridiculously good-looking and charming and never had issues
that's not
getting
true.
Girls.
That's not... That's definitely not true. Like, there were times... Like, when I was a freshman in college, I think I was, like, way less sexually active than a lot of my peers were at the time. You know what I mean?
I want to meet these peers. Were they just, like, sexually active every 5 minutes?
Well, listen, in Colorado, it's handcuffing season 6 months out of the year. So it's like there's not much else to do other than fornicate at college parties. I'm just obviously making that up, but who knows?
Yeah, that's kind of like similar to the East Coast. It's like, you know, you want to be single for the summer type thing. Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. National Sex Day, June 9th. Check it out, people. You know?
Jared, did you have sex on National Sex Day this year?
I did not. June 9th? Mm. Let me double check that.
let me check my sex calendar real quick.
Wednesday. Nope. Did not.
You're more like a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday
kind of
guy.
Listen, we're married, all right? We got to schedule everything ahead of time. It's like Friday, I record. Saturday, okay, we have time. We can do this now.
Right. Right.
Moving right along.
What about do you guys track, and again, too much information, if you don't feel like sharing, don't share. Do you guys track Ashley's like ovulation cycles? And
yes.
Then you kind of like try to cram as much in as you can during those?
Yeah. Yes. So we track her ovulation calendar, whatever it is. And, you know, we make sure she's like, okay, I'm ovulating on this day. So like, we're going to have, not to be TMI, but whatever. This is what happens when you're trying to create life. It's like, okay, you know, we're having sex like this day, that day. And it's better if we have it in the morning on this day. It's better if we have it at night on this day. And it's like, all right, cool. But I'll tell you, you know, I'm no spring chicken anymore. I'm not 21. So like on that fourth or fifth day and, you know, 9 o'clock rolls around and it's like, oh, no. We gotta. And it's like, oh, shit. That's right. All right. Let me take a shower. Let me wake up. Hold on. She's like, okay, I'll have a glass of wine. Hey, you know what? It's married. You got to do what you do. People have, you know, experience all the time. I had a buddy of mine text me and he said that during her ovulation, they had sex 5 times a day, like in 5 days in a row. I was like, how did you stand up? Are you insane? Does anything even work after 2 or 3 times? It's like, it's all just like,
interesting.
Yeah, it was crazy. Anywho.
Interesting.
I think Dean just dropped out, by the way.
Oh, no.
There goes his Wi-Fi. Well, we were going to move along anyway. So this is a nice little segue before we get to emails. Heather, did you watch Tayshia's season and did you watch Matt's season? I'm assuming you watched a little bit of Matt's season because
yes.
You were on it.
Yes. Yes, I watched both.
Okay. So we have a new Bachelor Nation couple, apparently. This is all in the rumor mill. So apparently, Piper James and Brandon Morass, I hope that's how you say his name.
Is it Brendan? I think it's Brendan.
Brendan, excuse me.
Yes.
Damn, I'm so bad with names.
Hopefully.
I think you're right. Brendan
okay. And
Piper apparently are dating and, quote, are super into each other. So, like I said, another love connection made in Bachelor Nation, Piper and Brendan. Have been dating for a few weeks now, a source told Us Weekly. Either he'll fly to New York and hang out with her or she'll fly to Boston because he's a Boston kid, which is why I like him. She was most recently in Boston over Memorial Day weekend, so this was a couple weeks ago, and they were even spotted in public together. He's 31, she's 23. How do you feel about this, Heather? How do you feel about
That's
Piper and Brendan dating each other?
I mean, I don't know either of them. I mean, I met Piper one time or twice, actually. But that's great. Wait, are they not in? I'm confused. Are they not in Paradise?
That's what I was thinking, too. When this article first came up, I thought, oh, maybe it's a spoiler for Paradise. And they're kind of releasing some of the couples that are already getting together to promote the show. But if they're flying to Boston and he's flying to New York, they're obviously not in Paradise. So what makes me think is that they were dating before. Okay, I remember Piper. Yeah, Piper's awesome. Yeah, Piper's beautiful.
She's super pretty.
Oh, okay. So my assumption is that they were talking before the show and they were like, no, we are into each other and we want to date, you know, not in Paradise because we're kind of committed to each other, which makes me so freaking happy because how many times have we seen, specifically over the past couple of years, so many Bachelor contestants talking before they go on the show and they already know each other. So you're not seeing them meet on camera for the first time. And it's just less dramatic because of that. And there's like, it's not a natural evolution of love because they've already hung out and they've hung out with multiple people and there's already drama. Obviously, we saw that with Blake a couple of years ago. So I'm super happy that they were like, no, I'm not going. We're dating each other.
I feel like it's a big deal in saying that they, because like, I feel like for sure both of them would have been on Paradise. So if they're not there, then that's really saying that they really like each other, because that's a big, I mean, I feel like that's like they're sacrificing something by not going on the show, you know?
I agree. Dean, do you have any thoughts? Piper, Brendan, dating in real life, IRL?
I don't really know who either of those people are.
Okay. Brendan was the Boston guy from Tayshia's season. Curly
hair.
He
was top third one?
I think he was number three, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Boston guy, so you already know he's awesome.
Yeah. I remember Tayshia's like final three guys were super handsome. They were all like male models, I feel like.
Right? He's actually a commercial roofer, which makes me love him oh so much. God.
Why? What about being a roofer?
Because just like rolling up your sleeves and like he's an East Coast guy. He's 31. He's a hard worker. He's blue collar. Like I freaking love him. Like for example, so Ashley and I got invited to Doug Flutie's charity event called, and his foundation is called the Flutie Foundation. And it's an incredible charity that works with kids with autism. And Paul Wahlberg, so Mark and Donnie Wahlberg's brother, who's like the main guy for the Wahlburgers, the burger chain, he was catering the event. And this guy is his brother is Mark and Donnie. This guy's definitely worth, he's a multimillionaire. And here he is, he's catering the event. And this guy was like, had 30 cheeseburgers on the grill. He's putting cheese on there and he's flipping, he's making burgers. And he's just got his hat on low and he's grinded away. And I'm like, this guy is a Wahlberg. This guy is Mark and Donnie's brother. He's the CEO of Wahlburgers. He's definitely a multimillionaire. And here he is just like grinding away. And I'm like, there is something to be said about that. And not to say that Brendan's on the same level as Paul Wahlberg, but like to be on The Bachelorette and still be a commercial roofer and to say no to Paradise, which we're all assuming he did. I don't know. I think that says something about his character and I like it. And Piper too, because Piper definitely was going to be on and she said no. And I love that. I love that they said no for each other. I'm assuming.
I feel like that's super, super rare. I feel like people meet up all the time, but like they value going on the show more than actually, you know, seeing something in real life. So I think that's, I mean, really admirable for both of them if that's actually what's happening.
I agree.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know Piper either, so I don't really have much of an opinion on this story, but I'm glad you guys are so passionate about it.
It's another Bachelor Nation couple, man. We hope they make it. All right. And before we go to break, Heather, did you watch Katie's first episode?
I did.
All right. Who are your front runners? Who do you like?
Greg is for sure like the front runner in my head. Yeah. The first impression rose guy. She really liked the cat guy, which did you guys feel weird? Did you guys both watch it?
Yeah. I love the cat guy.
Yeah.
When they were kissing though and his paws were on her face, I just felt weird. I was like, this feels
it's extremely cringeworthy.
This feels wrong to watch. Right.
Take the gloves off, bro.
But those two I feel like are the front runners in my head.
I agree. Greg was really great. He obviously got the first impression rose. But Connor B was his name, the guy who arrived in the cat costume. He's a math teacher as well. I just found this out. That makes me like him a lot. And he was adorable.
I liked him.
Yeah. And, you know, if you show up in a cat costume, I guess you could either be adorable or the creepiest man alive. So thank God it worked out for Connor B. We do have an email coming up from Anonymous, obviously our famous and favorite emailer of all time. So make sure you tune in for that. But before we get into an email, we're going to take a quick break. Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Myself, Dean, Heather. We have emails, our favorite part, Dean's favorite part of the podcast.
It is.
It is Dean's favorite.
Truthfully, the only part it's the only reason I sign on for this podcast is the emails.
He stays on for 45 minutes listening to my bullshit.
It's not. It's not to see you. It's not to listen to you. Heather, you're great. It's not why I'm here. It's the emailers.
The email.
So for the emailers, keep me interested in this podcast. Please email us at isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. We love hearing from you. And just anytime we hear a great, juicy story, it is literally, it breathes life into my lungs. So keep them coming. isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Mark, are you there? Do you want to read this email for us?
Right here, and it's a complicated one, just to warn you, but it is from Anonymous. I have two different scenarios I'd like advice on. So I've been stuck in kind of a Jared and Ashley situation for about a year and a bit. We met on Bumble, we were friends for a while, and then I caught feelings, and he was hung up on someone else. And it was kind of weird not dating, but also acting like we were dating for a while. A few months ago, I said, I'm done with this confusion. I just want to be your friend. At that point, I was ready to start moving on. But saying this made him realize he wanted me more. However, at the same time, I started to move on. One of my college roommates confessed he had caught feelings for me after living together for a semester. After my roommate confessed his feelings, we started getting much closer and we ended up hooking up. Now I'm in a place where he has really strong feelings for me, but I don't quite feel the same way. My love life has been kind of a hot mess for a while, and I'm going to take my summer at home to get my life together, but I have a few questions. One, how do I create enough space romantically with my roommate while also retaining a good friendship this summer? Two, how do I truly trust the original guy after having him reject me for so long?
Well, I guess I'll take
it. That's it. That's
any other takers?
Simple as that.
Jared, you take a seat back. Take a step back.
Yeah, I got
take a seat and let me answer this one, okay? So here's what you're going to have to do. You're just going to have to lay it all out for everyone involved. I think we stress it all the time on this podcast. Communication is the most important thing. Communication, communication, communication. So tell this guy that you're living with, the roommate that caught feelings that you hooked up with, exactly where you stand. Say, hey, this is fun. I like you, but I don't like you enough to really commit to a relationship at the moment. If that's what you're looking for, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. He might be a little hurt. He might be a little upset, but it's a lot less upset than he would be if you lead him on and break his heart later on. So tell him that. That's my first bit of advice. What do you guys think of that?
Heather, you want to go?
I totally agree. I think you have to, I think if they're feeling like unsure and they've already like been with them, know them, I think maybe that's not the first for them. I feel like at least for me, that's typically like, sometimes I like to, I mean, I feel like Jared, you might have a different situation. You've had a different situation with Ashley, but I'm like, if they've lived together for so long and she's still like unsure, I'm like, maybe you just don't like them and just be honest. And I totally agree. I think you should just communicate and just be upfront totally about how you feel.
Totally.
Right. But our opinion, Heather, doesn't matter quite as much in this scenario because, as this emailer mentioned at the top, she's got herself a Jared and Ashley situation.
I know, exactly.
So Jared, what is
true.
Your opinion on
that? Dean, have you not learned from 3 years of the podcast that I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about? But anyway, I'm going to answer this anyway. Anyway. I don't think I've said it anyway enough. Listen, Anonymous, I think with the guy that you like, but who has rejected you for so long, but now is coming around, you need to give him an ultimatum. We always talk about ultimatums on this podcast. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I think in this case, it's going to be beneficial for everybody. You talk to this guy and you say, hey, listen, I know you're starting to come around. That's great. I still have feelings for you. If you want to do this, I'm in. You want to be boyfriend, girlfriend? Let's do it. But I need a commitment. If you cannot give me a commitment, then we need to go our separate ways because it's not going to end well and I'm going to be confused and you're going to be upset and it's not going to be good. So give him an ultimatum and say, hey, listen, this is how I feel. For the roommate, I think you have to be the bigger person and, like Dean and Heather said, communicate with them and let them know exactly where you're at. But that's going to also entail you telling this roommate, I'm not where you are. I don't have the same feelings for you that you do for me. That doesn't mean I don't think you're an incredible human being. I would still love to be friends. But if you can't be, you know, if you can't get there with me where we're just on a friendship level, then maybe it's best that we, I don't know, you know, take a little bit of break. And, you know, I figure out my stuff, you figure out your stuff, and maybe we can be friends in the future. That's what I think you should do. But the biggest thing I think you should do is give this guy, the other guy, the guy that you like, who's finally starting to come around, an ultimatum.
Well, let's flip this around real quick and apply a practical scenario to it. Because in your situation, again, she's calling it a Jared and Ashley situation. I don't recall Ashley ever giving you an ultimatum.
I mean, she did when she started dating another guy. You know, she never verbalized it to me, But I guess I took it upon myself to know that she's dating someone else. So if I'm serious about this, I have to be all in. I can't be wishy-washy like I've been for the past few years. I need to commit.
But then here's the thing. If she wants to use your relationship with Ashley as a blueprint for it, then she should date the roommate, let this other guy that she really likes kind of get the hint that she's not here to mess around. Maybe he'll come around eventually. You know what I mean? Like, she's kind of got to like show this other guy that she really likes that she's a hot commodity, and she's not going to just wait around for this guy.
Totally. But like Heather said,
but the poor roommate. Yeah, the roommate. She doesn't like him. It really sounds like she doesn't like him.
Yeah, the roommate's going to get thrown under the bus if she does that.
Again, all I can keep coming back to is the Jared and Ashley situation. Similar to Ashley. Ashley didn't like the roommate, you know, in this case. Anonymous doesn't like the roommate. Sometimes you got to kiss a few frogs to find your Prince Charming.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Anonymous, if you want to listen to Dean and be soulless and really just ruin this person's life by pretending you like them to try to get someone else, I think you should do it.
But Jared, would an ultimatum work? Would that have worked just as well? Or do you think that the other one worked better?
I mean, obviously it worked out really well in my situation because it came very naturally. Like, she never approached me and said, you know, either we date or we don't talk. I do think that would have worked because honestly, there was a time in our friendship about a year and a half in where she did vocalize that a little bit. And it was like, we just need to go our separate ways for a while. And then we didn't talk for a couple of weeks. And then we started talking and then like fell into the friendship thing again. So I do think if she gave me an ultimatum, it probably would have worked. So, but unfortunately, Anonymous, if you do the ultimatum, you also have to understand that he could say no and let you know that I don't want to be in a committed relationship with you. But again, isn't that best case scenario also? Because then you know, and then you can move on and you can forget about this guy and you can figure out other things. Because I just feel like there's so many times I hear from my friends, and I've done it too, where it's like 3, 4, 5 years of this like juggling act where it's like, well, we're dating, but we're not really dating. And then we were, you know, committed to each other for 4 months and then we broke it off and now we're back together. And then I just feel like those situations never end up in a long-term happy relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you heard it straight from the horse's mouth. Give him the ultimatum. Give him the ultimatum. Hope for the best. Expect the worst.
Well, Mark, over-deliver, as we always say this here.
This is all good advice. I'm a little confused about who she wants to be with. Like, we're talking about this guy and playing this guy against each other. I think spending the summer away is a great idea. And to take a couple of weeks and just figure out, do I want to be with this guy who I like but doesn't like me back so much, or do with the other guy who I do like, but he... I think it's better to just figure out and focus on one of these guys. And then, yes, all the communication needs to happen. But I think she needs to spend some time herself first to figure out what her path is.
Yeah, well said, that's Mark. True. I think that's... We can always say whatever we want to say, but at the end of the day, Mark's opinion is really the one that matters the most.
It really is.
Is there any other emails that we have, or is that the only email we have?
That's all, Dean. I'm very sorry to tell you that. Might be time for another one of your patented email requests.
Will you guys please email us, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Give me a reason to show up next week. Otherwise, you might just have Jared and Mark and Heather, and that's perfectly fine too, but you know, just email us. Email us what's going on. That's going to probably do it for this week's episode then, if we don't have any more emailers, right, Jared?
That will do it, absolutely. A big thank you to, of course, Heather Martin. Lady, let's give her a little clap, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this podcast. Unfortunately, Dean is holding the mic in one hand, so he gave you like a little thumb and finger.
I gave her snaps.
And Heather, is there any, you know, you're in San Diego right now. Where can people find you on Instagram?
Yep, I have my Instagram at HeatherM22. And then me and my sisters just started a business too, which has been fun. And that is at Tilted3. So
what is it again?
It's like customizable apparel and like loungewear.
Okay, very cool.
Pretty much like sweatshirts and stuff. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been really fun.
And where can people find it again?
So it's Tilted3.
Tilted3. Okay, I'll check it out.
So it's like Tilted3.com and then at Tilted3 on Instagram. So
at Tilted3.
I'll keep my eyes peeled for our goodie box that you're going to send all the other co-hosts from today.
I would love to. Your personalized Help I Suck at Dating sweatshirt.
Heck yeah.
Don't tease us like that. That
you
sounds
guys,
fantastic.
I'm on it. I am on it right now.
All right. I love it. Perfect. Okay. Well, Heather, thank you so much. You have to come back on the podcast more frequently because it's too infrequent right now.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Oh my God. Of course. Dean, thank you for being you. Hopefully you're back next week when more emails come in. People, I need Dean. Dean is like the talent on the show. I talk nonsense. So if you want Dean
incredibly
back,
kind of you to say,
email, you know, it's true. Email the show. isuckatdating@iheartradio.com. And that's going to do it. So make sure everybody.
Jared, this is why we're not getting emails. It's isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com, not iheartradio.com.
They're sending it to iHeartRadio.
Oh, my God.
No wonder we're not getting 9 emails a week.
I've been giving you guys the wrong email for 3 years now. Email us at isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. We love hearing your stories. We love answering your questions. We probably do a horrible job doing it, but please just keep indulging us. And make sure you guys tune in next week where hopefully we all suck just a little less.
Just a little bit less.
Follow Help! I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.